We consider, evaluate, and postulate everything. Welcome to Capacity Cast with your hosts, Michael and Scott. Let's get started.
We are talking about what will be the fate of desktop computers.
So at different points, probably a few years, and then well on down the line, see how they might turn out.
And what's the current status?
Current state of the union.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. State of the PC or the Mac.
A lot of things are switching to smartphones. People decide, okay, I just need a smartphone. I don't need much else. Mm-hmm. And then you got the tablets, of course, which started off really strong, but then they dropped out.
To me, the tablet market exploding and then it's
dropping out. I don't know.
It's actually falling, right?
I thought it was, yeah. Especially from when it got big.
And that's being eaten up by, well, probably mostly by phones. You know, if somebody was going to buy a tablet, maybe they're going to buy a bigger phone.
Yeah.
I mean, I think laptop sales are still growing.
So it's really those three that are taking most of the market these days. Then you've got the laptops, tablets, and smartphones.
Sure. And then you have the desktop.
Yep. Do you use a desktop?
I do.
Okay.
I built my own.
So is it? It's a Windows.
Mm-hmm. Windows 10. I run Linux in VMs. I mean, so right, I realize I'm not using it the way 99% of people use computers.
Okay. Is this recent or?
I built it in 2014, and it replaced the cheap one I bought off of Craigslist in 2012.
Okay.
Which replaced one that a Dell that I bought with my college summer job money in 2002.
Okay.
So, yeah, I kept that for a long time.
Yep. I also have a desktop. Pretty much always had a desktop since 1996 or so. Mm-hmm. The first one was a buy, and then I made my own since then,
okay.
Or assembled, I should say. Windows, of course.
Gotcha. But I think, my first was a build, and it went so poorly, then I bought the second one.
Okay.
I thought it was an AMD.
Athlon?
I think it might have been pre-Athlon. It was like a 3.
Okay.
Like a 3.
386 something.
Oh, or, man.
K62.
I just remember I built the whole thing for $300, mm-hmm. and that was not enough money to spend on it.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
But that's really, that at this point, that's, building your own PC is, it's just a hobby. Mm-hmm. It's not a serious part of the market, I think.
So do you think they will survive, the desktop specifically?
I think they will, and I think they will because of gaming.
Okay.
I think gaming is... It's popular enough, competitive or serious, we'll call it like serious gaming because I don't know the right word for it. It's popular enough that it's a big enough market to sell things to.
Okay.
And
I have a counterpoint for that.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, it seems like laptops they show no signs of running games as well as those people would like.
Well, actually, just recently, the newest laptops have the NVIDIA 1080 version.
Oh, yeah.
The mobile version, which is more than my desktop has.
That's a nice card.
So I assume it's pricey, but it's a fast card. And also, they're doing that streaming service now. Quite a few companies are letting you have some type of like NVIDIA Shield tablet.
Okay.
And then it streams game content to the tablet or your device. I don't know about latency and how good that is, but it's an option at least.
I guess if you get it below that typical person's reaction time, that's good enough.
Yeah, and you don't have to buy $1,000+ computer to run a game, one of the big top 10 games or whatever of the moment, mm-hmm. that you can go and stream it for probably a monthly fee. I haven't looked into them too much, but that's an option.
That's a good point.
Potentially will get larger. I don't have a personal interest in it, but it's a thing.
And that, yeah, if it could bring it to people.
Yeah.
All right, so the gaming laptop is an interesting one because that sort of shows the direction people want.
Smaller. I definitely would pick up a full gaming laptop if it were small enough.
Smaller and
cheap
important.
Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least for a while there, they were, you know, your gaming laptop with comparable specs to a gaming PC or a desktop, a lot more expensive.
Yeah, definitely more expensive and
kind of fragile,
not
too.
As fast.
Yeah, yeah. And really hard to carry around, you know.
The big ones, yeah.
Poor battery.
Mm-hmm. The 1060 version of the NVIDIA inside the mobile is probably a really good balance. We'll see how it works out. There's a few of them out now. I'm not sure how large they are, but they are smaller than that.
It does make sense to me that at some point we could reach good enough for gamers. It could happen. In that case, then, as soon as it got small and low power enough, it would just be on laptops and tablets.
Yeah, it's possible, but if developers do keep pushing the envelope, which I don't think they're doing that well at, But mm-hmm. if they can keep pushing the processing envelope, then there might not ever be a situation where the laptop will be totally sufficient.
That's true.
Compared to some crazy dual graphics card setup that the super enthusiasts, you know, would want to do. There are some versions where I think it's Razer. They have a laptop where you can hook up to this device that you put an actual graphics card in.
Okay.
And it's you can replace the graphics card, so that's an option, but it's like off in the side somewhere.
Oh, an external?
Yeah, an actual graphics card. Yeah.
That's a good point. You know, for, I use Mac, Apple hardware a lot too. And,
okay.
You know, the gaming has never been great on those or just, I mean, this is issues with high power GPUs.
They just don't update their computers as often.
Yeah, they're really conservative about power use and all these other things.
Yeah.
But now they have a really fast support, a Thunderbolt 3 port.
Okay.
And it's almost as fast as putting a
PCI
card
Express.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they have all the support for external GPUs now.
Okay.
And so people are able to basically get the benefits of a desktop with just by plugging this thing in.
All right.
So I don't know. You know, I guess we'll see if a lot of people use those. So that's kind of what seems to be going on right now. You try to figure out if computers, desktops, laptops are dying or not.
Mm-hmm.
You have all these cool technologies people want to use, and then just 4K and 8K monitors
mm-hmm.
and VR.
Yeah,
and then
definitely. Those are external. A good use case going forward is the super intensive processing, like you mentioned, VR. Mm-hmm. You need some serious graphical capabilities to make that really, really good.
But then, so some of those things, like the external GPUs, you think would make it easy to support to use a smaller device.
In a way,
at
least the one that I know of, you can only stick one inside. So.
For now, yeah.
And the VR, you need some. If you want the highest end thing, you need some super high end cards.
That's true.
Because you're basically running two screens.
Yeah. I guess I just don't know which, you know, when you have advanced technologies where some are making it, mm-hmm. basically pulling you towards like the big desktop computer, and others are pulling you towards no computer or a small computer, maybe the rate of adoption is going to...
So do you see any other use cases for desktops moving forward?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously they are going to continue to be the thing that makes the most sense.
Content creation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Artists.
Content creation is huge. I do a lot of videos, photography.
Mm-hmm.
I have an i7 6700 processor.
Okay.
And this program called ACDC Ultimate 10. It's a photo editing. It's still slow on my certain RAW files. So,
mm-hmm.
and the processor that I have is relatively decent. So, you know, there's always going to be this gap of you still need that content creation processing, like as much as you can get within reason.
I know in our, you know, we both do some programming.
Uh-huh.
And it seems like, you know, moving to a lot of scripted languages and compilers being fast enough.
Yeah.
You know, instant compilation, things like
that.
And then as soon as you get that, now people are doing mixing machine learning into
software.
Definitely. And now you got to wait for that to do like 2,000 cycles or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Machine learning is a big processing intensive thing. I think a lot of it runs on graphics cards. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that you would be best off with something on a desktop level
mm-hmm.
of capability.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten into it personally, but...
I haven't done much either, but yeah, I saw a remark from mm-hmm. someone on Twitter where they basically said it's a new compiling. It's waiting for your set training to finish.
Okay.
I thought, wow, that's interesting. So it's a new, you know,
mm-hmm.
thing where you want it to be as fast as possible.
Any others you can think of offhand?
For artists, you know, video, digital, painting, photography, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Large screens.
And as long as you have a large screen.
You gotta push those pixels somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Laptops might be able to, but desktop is the best case for that.
It just seems like if you're going to have it, you might as well do a desktop.
Yeah, or you spend $3,000 on that Microsoft, whatever. It has a special little wheel that you stick on the screen, and it's...
Oh, that.
Yeah.
I can't... Yeah. Is Surface Studio?
That sounds like
okay.
It. Surface Studio.
Yeah, that looks very... That
it's
looks
expensive,
very cool.
But,
but
they're actually using some previous generation graphics stuff in there, which I don't know why they did that, but it's still expensive.
Well, if it's anything like the Surface Pros, hopefully they'll iterate really quickly.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I think if we get into things like that, we're basically gigantic
screens.
Tablets.
Yeah, it is kind of a large tablet.
If that's what the PC turns into, I think that counts as surviving, even though it wouldn't look very much like...
I would still call it a desktop, because you're not going to be carrying it around or using battery.
Yeah.
You would have to have your own battery, but...
And that's the other thing I was just going to say real quick, is that the PC, the power of PCs continues to just... It continues to increase, not exponentially like it used to, but it's looking a lot better.
Yeah.
The battery tech, you know, we saw a lot of gains with good design and good power management, but... Mm-hmm. It's going to be a long time before we have super powerful batteries.
Yeah.
It's going to be like 2, 5, 10 times as long. And so until then, no high performance, you know, anything on a battery, unfortunately. Not for very long.
So we have use cases against desktops. Mm-hmm. The simplest one is web browsing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much on the phone these days, because phone screens are getting pretty large and it's easy enough. It's not ideal in some situations, like you're doing something money related or you're trying to file your taxes.
Yeah.
You generally want to use a large laptop or something like that.
Absolutely.
But can you think of anything against desktops surviving?
Sure. I should probably think of some because I've been defending them a lot. I do think that phone power is going to get to where there a lot of things that seem impossible to do on a phone will become doable.
Yeah.
Like one thing is, you know, right now with a lot of phone apps, the zoom is fixed and you have a fixed view.
Okay.
If we get to where they're powerful enough to handle really a lot of control over how much of the app you're seeing, you know, we could have new interfaces where you just sort of effortlessly, say you're doing taxes, you could look over a large set of fields, you know, or documents.
Okay.
In a way that right now you'd be going, you know, like hitting the back button or swiping back all the time and go.
Yeah.
Know,
yeah.
Just things like that that are kind of that's only necessary because of power.
So if a phone somehow had a projection screen or some type of 3D visual screen.
That
doesn't have that space limitation.
It could be a mix of that, maybe something you wear. You know, maybe we'll have some screens around that, you know, people will cast to
more
often.
Yeah. For example, Microsoft has that Continuum feature on their phones, which I don't know if they even exist anymore, but you attach it to a screen with a dongle or something, and then it's a full Windows interface from the phone.
Oh, yes?
Yeah.
Well, that's powerful.
The only issue currently is that it only runs the universal Windows apps. So all of the old stuff that keeps Windows around, you can't run on it. But eventually, if Microsoft gets their act together with their phones, they might have an x86 phone, and then you'd have a full Windows that you could connect to a keyboard and a screen to, and it would be basically a phone that can do both.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, we'll see if they ever do that.
That reminds me of another way that we might move away from the PC, and x86 in particular.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that some companies like Qualcomm, I think, are working on emulating x86, or at least parts of it, on ARM processors.
Okay.
And if they are able to do that, then they can basically make things like phones compatible with, that legacy Windows software.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Intel is getting
I'm sure they'll fight that
big,
tooth and nail.
Big patent fight. And I'm sure Microsoft will, too, if you start trying to emulate, you know, the Win32 stuff or whatever. But, if they figure that out.
A lot of it's legal, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're
in performance related.
Yeah. So, because we are talking about, you know, will basically an Intel monopoly, will it survive or not? You know,
I think it will. But
in some way, but will it go into decline as possible?
And then a big one that we didn't mention is servers, and everything in the quote unquote cloud is going to be large computers, and we'll just call them desktops. But, you know, those are things that people don't directly interface with.
That's true.
Yeah.
And those can grow exponentially.
Yeah. So hopefully that combination will keep components available to consumers in the future. Because I personally like having a desktop that's powerful and I can do that content stuff and programming and everything in that universe.
Same here.
So just partly on that topic, the limitations of the mobile operating systems, do you think that's a pretty big detriment currently to the switch to smaller devices?
I do for using them as a general device. I mean, you can do 80% of what you need to do on them, but that last 20% is really important.
Yeah.
And it's different. Not only is it important, but it's not the same 20% for everyone. You know, that's where the diversity comes in. you know?
Yeah.
So I see that as a big impediment. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. At one point or another, it was hard for me on the Android to switch between apps and copy text, paste text. It's a little easier now with my current one, mm-hmm. because you can jump through them and it keeps the state of previous apps.
Well, that's good.
But that is an issue. The touch interface doesn't allow for as much flexibility in some situations. And that we should just go over a little bit with the interfaces. Do you see the keyboard and mouse continuing to stick around?
I think so in some capacity. I have wondered if another way to do what the mouse does, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's a combination of eye movement or,
yeah.
or some kind of
the mouse movement. Is a huge hurdle to make something better.
Mm-hmm. The keyboard, you cannot beat the speed of a keyboard.
Yeah, that's true as well. I wouldn't want to talk constantly to my computer to input data. I mean, if there is a situation in the future that you can think and put text into a computer, that would be great in a way, but it's also a little dangerous mm-hmm. if computers can read your mind.
that wouldn't be great.
Yeah, there's some security issues with that, but it's probably possible and it'll probably happen eventually.
There is a technology, the creator escapes me, but they essentially pick up, if you barely talk, they pick up most of what the movements in your head, you know,
okay.
your jaw and your tongue and so forth. And it's probably not very good right now, but mm-hmm. if something like that were to be, so you wouldn't be thinking and it would be picking that up, but you would be basically silently talking.
Yeah, I have a use case for that with I don't want to go on a tangent, but it's a relatively new family member that I learned of. Mm-hmm. That's my mother's brother, and he has some type of ALS related thing where he can barely get the words out.
Oh, okay.
Like, they're very soft and quiet. That probably would help him in
yes.
that situation.
Yes. So that would, you know, I'd
yeah, that would definitely that. Be yeah. good for him.
Besides that, though, I think if people yeah. can type,
yeah.
you know, that'd be maybe some sort of sensors on your hands where you just sort of move your fingers like you're typing in.
Yeah, a visual, either a augmented reality keyboard comes up, mm-hmm. which I would love, actually.
Yeah, that would be nice.
There's a few. There's an anime that one of my favorites that she's a mad scientist, and she puts her hands out, and then a keyboard comes up in the air.
Nice.
She types on it. So that would be awesome. I'd like that. So, I mean, if you had that augmented keyboard show up, mm-hmm. it'd be a lot less strain, too.
Yeah, that's true. You wouldn't have to get the... Yeah.
Unless then you'll have some other type of syndrome for having your hands held up.
Yeah, when you people walking around involuntarily wiggling their fingers and you're not sure what they're doing.
So that'll be another strain injury. Besides that, you've got maybe a mixture of different devices could eventually replace the standard keyboard mouse, but mm-hmm. moving forward, we personally don't see it as going to happen anytime remotely soon.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty much good on that topic. Do you have anything to add to it?
I guess to sum it up, I see laptops not going anywhere or maybe turning into giant screens, mm-hmm. but fully featured.
Yeah.
And I see that.
Thinner, lighter, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And eventually, at some point, desktops will become more of a hobby than an industry category.
Yeah, especially for just personal use. Hopefully that's not the case, because I like my powerful computers, and the more that it's out there, the cheaper it'll be. But
yeah, same here.
Yeah. So hopefully they survive.
Hope so.
Thank you for listening to another episode of CapacityCast. You can hear more episodes at CapacityCast.com.